Vanuy Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Saturday morning, it's 10 o'clock. This is the Vanuy Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanuy.
And I'm Adam Vanuy.
And once again, we are live in color in the studio. If you stare at your radio dial long enough, you probably start seeing things. But don't do that if you're driving. Once again, no reruns. Thank you for the shout-out last week when the caller came in and said, thank you for not doing a rerun. We never have. We hope never to. Might come to that someday, but not yet into well into our fifth year. Because, after all, what's more boring than a financial show that isn't live, that you can't talk to and put your own two cents in and change the conversation if you want to by picking up the phone, going 904-222-8255, or the easy way, 222-TALK, because that's what we do here. We talk. And boy, do we have things to talk about this week. There is it's kind of an ongoing thread I want to talk about after we talk about how nice it was this week. Just about the time when everything looks like gloom and doom out there, something happens and comes roaring back. It was quite a week.
Yeah, it was.
He's uncomfortable with it. I'm not.
I'm actually really uncomfortable with it. I don't like it at all. I don't like when the market responds well to bad news. That is not, it's not normal.
Well, if we'd gotten last night's news on Thursday, you'd be happy as a clam.
I don't think last night's news would really have moved the dial too much. It would have been about what it was anyway,
but I think it would have changed the attitude, including yours.
No, because that's not what I'm worried about. What I'm worried about is the rate hike that isn't coming. So I'll talk a little bit.
70% chance.
I don't buy it.
We only disagree with that by, what, 69%?
Yeah, exactly. We'll talk about that a little bit more. But after 6 weeks of declines, the market turned pretty sharply this week and had a huge rebound. The Dow had been down 6 weeks in a row, which has only happened a handful of times throughout history. And so the streak ended at the 6 weeks, thankfully. And we tacked on more than 1,100 points, or 4.7%, while the S&P was up 4.4% and the NASDAQ 3.9%. And as I mentioned before, it was mainly on bad news. If you're a regular listener to the show, you know that sometimes this happens where the market takes bad news and reacts positively to it. And the theory behind that is that when there's bad news, the Fed is either less likely to raise rates, or in this case, the market is expecting the Fed to lower rates. So we saw a really pretty dismal jobs report come out this week. And
a couple of them.
ADP on Wednesday, and then the government numbers on Friday, and the market shot up both days. And the thinking is that they're going to potentially cut rates in July. And then the Fed actually spoke this week and sort of hinted that they'd be open to it. But they certainly didn't say they were going to do it, or even signal that they were going to do it, in my opinion.
There's only one Fed, what do they call them, among governors, I guess.
Yeah.
Seeming like he's on board with the rate cut. The rest of them are open, but they're certainly not indicating.
It doesn't make sense.
No.
There's no data that should drive them to cut rates right now. It would be a purely almost political decision, I think. And they're supposed to be – that's exactly what they're not supposed to do.
Right.
So anyways, that's why this rebound is just on all the wrong reasons. Now, if this rebound had happened on the potential of a trade deal with China, I'd be all on board with that, because that's real economic news that could drive the markets ahead. The Fed potentially cutting rates next month is not real economic news. It's conjecture, I think. I just don't get it. But the U.S. wasn't the only market to rally this week. Several overseas markets did as well. And in fact, Europe looked really good this week, along with Canada, Brazil, and Japan. The Chinese market, however, dropped again. So that to me signals the opposite of what I'm hoping for, which is that we cut a deal with China. They are being pretty stubborn about this thing. I don't know. I think Trump is potentially meeting with him at the end of the month.
Xi is still saying very nice things about our relationship between Xi and Trump and between China and the U.S. Meanwhile, he's tippy-toeing around back with Putin.
Yeah, I saw that.
You know, I got an old theory, just thought of this, that eventually China's going to, sometime in the dead of night, just amass troops along their north border and go in and just annex all of everything that's Russia up to Siberia for all of the resources that they need there. So Putin should be a little cautious of them, I think.
That's that's one of those marriages that is that neither spouse
no
trusts
good
the other
can
one
come of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So
needs an annulment.
President Trump announced tariffs against Mexico this week and then repealed them last night. So that was a really interesting, quick turnaround threat that he had made, and what he was really trying to do was curb illegal immigration using tariffs, which is a very, very unusual and a strategy that I personally don't agree with.
That makes one of us.
Okay. Well,
I thought it was brilliant.
I don't like it at all, because if you start doing it with that, it opens up Pandora's box. You can use it with anything, and then it can be used against you with anything. And I don't like that one bit.
It's okay if you're the biggest gorilla.
I don't know.
Everybody said it won't work. By the end of the week, it already worked. And you know, and I know, that Mexico wasn't going to bring someone up here and have these negotiations without some kind of a fire being lit under them.
Perhaps. And so it does appear to have worked, because there was a deal announced last night. I couldn't find the details this morning, but
I found a lot of them, and it's all basically good. They're going to buy more of our agricultural products. They're deploying about 6,000 National Guardsmen, not just to their southern border, but throughout the place. The big thing to me was that they agreed to accept the people who come over here seeking asylum and are on the waiting list. They're going back to Mexico now.
Right. And
that
I think that was the biggest thing Trump wanted. Yeah.
Yes, because that's where we have gotten ourselves in trouble with the courts and so on, with the overcrowded conditions.
And well, and that's then going to 75% of them are not showing up to their court dates anyway. So.
Oh, no, 99% do. Didn't you listen to Beto?
Yeah, that's not true.
It's actually 83% okay. Don't show. He said 99% did. You know, nice thing about being a candidate for a big office like that, you can say whatever the heck you want.
Especially when the media is on your side.
Exactly.
So bullish sentiment dropped again, with almost 43% of investors claiming to be bearish and only 23% remaining bullish, which in general is a very positive sign for the stock market. So maybe we will continue this rally into next week. Economic data.
I think that news Friday night is going to assure the rally.
Potentially. Economic data, pretty bad this week. I know we want to talk a little bit about the jobs number, but we can do that on the other side of the break here.
I'll tell you one thing for sure. No one is going to completely explain the jobs number like what you're going to hear after the break.
All right. That's a promise.
For a teaser.
Okay.
And we will have a trivia question, of course, after the break. But you're going to hear an analysis unlike what anyone will tell you. And I think you might just like it, too. So when we come back, we'll take care of all of those things. But, of course, if you want in on the action here, all you got to do is pick up the phone and dial 222-8255. Callers will immediately go to the front of the line, and we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about for as long as you want to talk about it, and then we'll get back to our own business. So one way or the other, we'll have a real good time in a couple minutes. We'll pay some bills and be right back. This is the Vanway Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Vanway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanway.
And I'm Adam Vanway.
And we have a trivia question today, as usual, sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can call Ken at 904-636-7888. Today we're going to talk about retiring. And Adam and I were just going through some statistics on retirement, which we'll get to later in the show. But we're both a combination of surprised and disappointed in the numbers we've been reading. But I'll give you this one. This is about last year's retirees, 25% of them were between the ages of 62 and 64. I want to know what percentage were even younger than 62 out of all of last year's retirees. How many were younger than age 62? And you might be surprised.
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, me too. All right, why don't you start on the jobs report, and I'll wrap that up in my own inimitable style shortly.
We got a preview of the report on Wednesday when ADP came out, and the expectation was for 180,000 jobs created, and the actual was 27,000. It was one of the biggest misses in the history of the report relative to expectations. Then Friday, this reading was somewhat confirmed by the government report, which showed just 90,000 jobs created versus 178,000 expected, plus downward revisions to previous months. The unemployment rate did come in at 3.6%, so that was a good number, and average hourly earnings are up more than 3.1% from a year ago, but slightly below the estimate. Earnings still grew 0.2% in the month. The expectation was 0.3%, so if they're growing, but just growing a little bit less than forecast, I still consider that a good number. Additionally, employers are having a really hard time filling jobs, and there are still more available jobs than there are people to fill them.
By a lot.
So this is definitely affecting the numbers as well. Yep. So it's a pretty bad report, but again, as I always say with this report, do not look at 1 month, look at the 3 month trend.
Now, look what's happening in the retirements. That's what we're going to be talking about more and more. But a lot of people are leaving in what I would call the prime of life. Now, there is an exception for some of them. About a quarter of the people who retire are retiring because of bad health and lack of work together. Those amount for up to about that. Speaking of retirement, good morning, Captain Dave.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Great. What's happening?
Not much. I just got back. Have you watched our favorite stock lately?
No. I haven't.
82 cents.
Yeah, I got scared off.
No, I'm buying. I'm waiting until it gets to 60 cents and I'll go buy 1,000 shares.
Cockeyed optimist who retires multi-gazillionaire.
No, they still got the start. They got the product.
Okay.
Still. They're in their second phase of the Aspire thing.
Okay. I'm taking your word for it now.
It's down to like 60 or 65 cents, and that was after a four-way reverse split. So it's about a 3 cent stock. but on the other hand, I go to a casino and I'll blow $500. So
there you go. You win, probably light your cigars with $100 bills nowadays.
Zero, I don't know. By the way, the Jamaican stock market is up 19.8% for the year.
Good.
Not bad.
We're not the only successful people in the
globe. No, they're doing good down there. I'm in it because it's all Jamaican dollars. I can repatriate them with this pain in the butt. I just leave it down there and spend it on my kids.
Yeah, tough lifestyle, huh?
Yeah.
St. Anyway, Augustine and Jamaica.
It would have been with me last 2 weeks. We had the monsoon. Well, we were getting 100 degrees and no rain. We were on the bottom side of that system, and it rained 23 inches in 7 days.
Wow.
That's monsoon. A lot.
Real monsoon. I mean, when it's coming down, you can't see your hand in front of your face.
Wow. I was listening to the real estate show on the way in today, and Alan was talking about the rainy week we've got coming up, and I was tempted to call in and say, prove it.
Yeah.
We need it badly around here.
Yeah, things seem to be to leveling out now. The rain kind of stopped there, but it was ugly. People don't know what the tropics and the jungle is like when it's raining like that. Oh,
I can imagine.
Every creature known to humanity is crawling around. Well, a lot of people think, they think of the tropics, they think of palm trees,
sure,
and clear, cloudless skies, and all. Yeah, come around during the rainy season.
I got a question
anyway,
for you.
Guys, I'm going to buy that stuff just for the heck of it.
Do
what
it.
The heck? Like
check
I said,
in, too.
I don't think it can go bust because they do have something.
But good. How old were you when you retired?
It would hard to be say what retired is because I never punched a clock for anybody when I retired from driving ships in 1993.
So you're about 51?
Yeah, 52.
No, that's my story. I'll stick to it.
Yeah, that's about that. Yeah, 50, 55.
I'm sorry, it really was early.
But Okay. But that's when they when Sealand got sold to Moeller Maersk. I had been driving for Sealand, and there was just a bunch of good old boys from Florida East Coast Railway. What Sealand was, it was actually, you know, Jacksonville.
Okay.
But Moeller Maersk is a Danish company, biggest shipping company in the world. They didn't seem to have the same sense of humor that the good old boys from Virginia Beach did.
Shocking.
So I decided, I had always been a contract driver, I was teaching and doing all that, doing computer work and everything. So I don't know when I don't even know if I am retired. All I know is I got more work than I ever had. But the nice thing about being in my position retired is I can say no to a job if I feel like it. I can take a job. I can do a lot of pro bono. I do a lot of pro bono.
I'm thinking there's probably some of that. We're kind of analyzing retirement and retirees here for the next couple of weeks. And getting some perspective on that kind of thing. It might be the flexibility that's adding to the earlier retirements.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, again, what does retirement mean? I mean, if you've been punching a clock 40, 50, 60 hour, or working in a cubicle or whatever the heck you've been doing, or reporting somewhere for something, and then you don't have to do that anymore, then I guess that's retirement, but I never had to do that anyway. I set my life up, even though you know me.
Sure.
I set my life up so that I didn't have to be dependent on it, didn't have all my eggs in one basket, and I made my own money my own way.
Cool. Well, thank you. I appreciate it. Welcome home, and we'll talk soon.
I'm going to buy it.
Okay.
I'm going to buy it.
Let me know.
60.
Wish you luck.
60 cents. All right, bye-bye.
Yeah, it's true, though. If you've been a employee somewhere for 30 years and then you one day you stop going to work and you grab your car keys and drive for Uber, are you retired?
Well, we're looking at just pure statistics today on retirement and trying to see what's going on out there and if it's good, bad, indifferent, healthy otherwise. And there's more to consider than just the pure statistics, but I still like the question, how many of last year's retirees were actually under age 62 in percentage? So if you've got a guess, bring it on. All right, back to the jobs report. There is something you're not going to hear from other people. I did hear a little tiny mention of it on one of the programs this morning. But a strange thing happened last month to part-time workers. There is a category of part-time workers that says, I don't really want to be a part-time worker. I want a regular job, but for lack of work, I am unable to find full-time work. Well, that number dropped last month by 299,000 people. What does that tell me is happening out there? It's telling me that companies are having a lot of trouble finding workers to fill that 7.5 million jobs that are available. They're looking around at these part-time people saying, come on, let's add some more hours and make you full-time again. A lot of these people were created as full-time people because of Obamacare, because anybody over 30 hours under Obamacare had to be treated with full benefits. So a lot of them got their hours cut from 40 or 35 or 30 down to 28, 27, something like that. A lot of people had two jobs. Now, it's important to note also that the way unemployment is figured, it's not how many jobs a person has. It is whether or not that person has a job. I don't care if he's got four jobs. It's one number on the unemployment rolls, so you know that. So what has happened over a year, 599,000 Americans went from wanting full-time work but only getting part-time work to actually getting full-time work. Now, I'm going to make the argument, and please feel free to disagree, that you should count in the number of jobs in this country half of that number. I'm saying that these people were doing about half work, roughly. Now they're doing a full thing. So you create a half a job by moving someone from part-time to full-time. You do that 600,000 times in a year, and you've got 300,000 more full-time workers. What does that mean? That means more disposable income. That means more fringe benefits. That means more consuming, the whole thing. It's an economic boom, and it's very much hidden in the statistics that you're reading and hearing all throughout the job market these days. So I have something that you may quote me on this. You ready? Drum roll. We don't have a hiring problem. We have a problem hiring. How about that? And I might just write a blog about that very thing this week because I like it so much. So don't look at this last report and say, oh my gosh, that was really disappointing. They got to do something. Look at it more as if we had the right people available for jobs in this country, you think we're successful now? It would boom even more, even sooner. I'm going to, right after the break, put out a quick message to the graduates that are coming out of high schools and colleges right now. We are in the middle of graduation season, and there's something that they ought to be thinking about, as we all know. All right, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And a reminder that the trivia question is out there. How many of last year's retirees, what percentage of them were under 62 years old? And it might surprise you. Good morning, Preston.
Hello.
How are you today?
Just fine, sir. Y'all doing all right?
We absolutely are. What's on your mind?
Hey, I was curious about the stock. I guess it was a penny stock. I got in late. I was headed to work, and the guy called in. He said he had monsoon season from the tropics or something.
Yeah.
Can you tell us what penny stock or not?
I will, under one condition. You email me through the office email, info@vanweefinancial.com. I don't like to talk about these things on the radio.
Yeah, we're not stock pickers.
That's,
so
that's fair enough. I am curious. I've made a lot of money off of penny stock in the past.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you, you can look this one up. It's got a long history, and that's just with Captain Dave. But it's an interesting little thing. It's not something we recommend except for play money. You know, if you got
that's what I'm looking at, to be honest with you. Something kind of fun. They're kind of fun to see what they'll do. It's money that if you lose it, it's not a big deal.
Exactly. And I don't like to talk about those things when we're doing a general show about being successful in the long run, because that's one way that you can probably step on your own foot.
I'll put it this way. If you had purchased $100,000 of this stock about 3 years ago, you'd have almost none of it left.
Yes. So,
but there were many.
I understand. The one I did well off was a spinoff of Ford back in 07, 08, when the financial crisis first happened, and they spun off something. And that spun off went before the judges and the courts, and there was a time it went down to about five or six cents, but then it jumped up to over to a dollar and a half.
Not bad.
No, I just thought that was very interesting. Overnight, I made a bunch of money, and then I turned on the news, and nobody ever talked about it. They were talking about Google had gone up 1% or something. I'm like, wow, why is that even a story?
You know
what I'm saying? I'm just curious if these things really do happen.
It does beg a question, though. Did you sell it?
Yes, sir.
Good for you.
Good job.
Yeah. Good for you.
So anyways, but it was very interesting because it's something I wouldn't look at every day, and I was gone for about a week or so and came back and turned on my account. I was like, whoa, wow, you know?
I'm out of here.
Yeah, that's always fun when that happens.
That's called speculating, and you better be ready to sell when you can, because that speculative price change can happen just as quickly as it happened on the upside, sometimes more so.
Yes, sir. Yeah, all right, I appreciate all that good advice.
I was going to ask if you want to take a shot at the trivia question.
No, I really don't know that. But another thing about that Obama era, when he brags about how many jobs he added, I added so many jobs, that's because people had to get more than one job. Isn't that kind of ties into what you were talking about a minute ago?
Yeah, it counts for jobs, but not for the employment rate. But you know what?
Yeah.
They invented a system under Obama where they'd ask you in the household survey, did you babysit for an hour for money? Yes. Okay, that's a job. That's how they counted people.
Yeah.
Nice, huh?
They call it part of the new normal that he was telling
us
about, right? The new normal, 1% growth.
Yep, right. And it'll never be higher than that again.
Never, ever. No. And especially this quarter. It couldn't possibly be higher this quarter, right?
Right.
It's always like that. All right, shoot me an email. Van Wee Financial is the website, and info@vanweefinancial.com is the email, and I'll shoot you some info on it. No problem.
Thank you very much, sir. Y'all have a wonderful day, and I really appreciate your show.
Oh, thanks so much for listening.
Appreciate it.
We hear from new people all the time, and it really feels good to know that there are a bunch of people out there listening, paying attention, and adding some colorful comments to the show, that sort of thing.
And so,
by the way, speaking of that, remember the caller from last week that said that he had pulled out of the market during this downturn, and I said, I'm going to tell you exactly whether that was a good idea or not, but I'm not going to tell you for 6 months, and I'm still not. But let's just say we're on the upside after this week.
But, on December but there's 1, still a lot of time left in those. In
on
that
my
time
calendar,
frame, so.
On December 1, 2019, is answer the question that you promised to answer not before 6 months. And that's exactly what will happen.
Yep, and the trivia question is still out there. It's good for a $25 gift card if you call in and get it right. That's 904-222-8255.
And by the way, that number is plus or minus 5%, just to give you an idea of magnitude.
Nice. Okay.
All right, graduates. This is from a guy who's been around long enough that he can say these things. A lot of today's graduates are like crazy Cousin Eddie in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. They're holding out for a management position. The entitled generation very often believes that everything they need to know is reflected in that piece of paper they got as they walked across the stage. Now they can take that out to the marketplace and get the job of their lives. 65, 85, 100,000, sky's the limit, right? Well, that's not really that true. Even the most diligent students who are preparing for the big job, even professionals like lawyers, doctors, whatever, they are not going to become highly paid lawyers and doctors when they graduate from school. In fact, a lot of them graduate from school only to go back to school, and when they're out of that school, then very likely someone will take them under their wing as a mentor. It takes a long time to be good at something, it takes a longer time to be good at something really difficult. And everybody, if you're listening to the show, you're probably old enough to understand how accurate that is. We all think back to an earlier time, and very often we reminisce. You know, if only I knew when I was 25 what I know today. And, you know, that has a positive aspect to it, but it also has a very dark side to it. I'll be 69 years old here in a few days, and I look back at some of the things I did, and some were good, some were bad, some were fantastic. There's so many things I would not have done if I knew everything I knew today. I would have missed out on a lot. Ignorance can be blissful. Stupidity is never blissful. And denying yourself a chance to learn something by turning down a job because it isn't the dream job, that is borderline stupidity. So what do you do? Well, science shows that the human brain is not really fully developed until right around age 26, 7, 8, somewhere in there. Complex decision making is one of the last skills that you develop in your life, and I can prove this in three letters. You want to know what they are?
Sure.
AOC. we're having a great debate across the country now on certain items like voting and the value versus the cost of a higher education. Educational debt now exceeds credit card debt nationwide. It's consuming a dramatic share of graduates' incomes. It's often changing their lifestyles by putting off items that you might otherwise do, like starting families and buying homes and so on, because they're so heavily in debt and their income is being taken to repay that, which you absolutely have to do and absolutely should do. Success in 21st century America is dependent on what you actually know, how hard you work, and how artfully you utilize everything you know. The college education dilemma is not going to get any easier for people. It keeps getting more expensive, and there's a lot of you. But right now, jobs are plentiful. If you understand the value of getting your first job, what it does is prepare you for that job you really want. Not everything you need to know, you learn in school. Remember when we were young and all we wanted was a chance? Keep that in mind, and you'll be better off.
Yep, it's true. But also, on the flip side, school is really important, and college is actually really important. The average college degree earns that person $1 million more over a lifetime than a person without a college degree. So
now I would like to separate those college degrees into categories.
Of course, but that's just on average. So if you get a very useful, high paying degree, that number will be even bigger.
You know what the unemployment rate is for college grads today in this country?
I don't, but it's really, really low.
2.1%. Now that did not change last month. And how many college graduates graduated in May?
Yeah, that's true. So
that means they walked out of school and into a job. So I'm very, very excited for all of the graduates at every level right now. This is a job market that your parents would have just been so crazy to get. They'd have been so happy. And it will not last forever. Nothing ever does. But don't think that means you're going to get your dream job with all the perks and all the big money just by walking out of school. Figure out how to get where you're going, and it's a perfect time to do it. All right, some other goodies after the break. We'll be right back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And this segment brought to you by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Give Troy a call at 662-9794. Trivia question still out there. What percentage of last year's retirees were under age 62? And I'm going to give that answer, if nobody gets it right, a little bit early, because we've got to explain a couple of things. But first, Adam has a little announcement he wants to make about this is, what do we call these? Not self-aggrandizement, but
shameless self-promotion.
Shameless self-promotion. Yeah. That's the word, yes.
Definitely.
Why not? We pay for the show.
No doubt. Every once in a while, we talk to a few reporters and give our combined wisdom to them for stories that they're writing. And one of them contacted me a month or two ago and was looking for a quote about things that we keep around the office that are sort of props for advisors. And we have one that we really like. It was one that my dad got from, actually was given to him by a client, I believe. And it's a Enron stock certificate. And as you can imagine, it's not worth anything because
it was only one share.
Yeah. Well,
it could have been 10,000 shares.
Yeah, true.
And it would be worth exactly the same.
Luckily, the person that he got it from only had purchased the one share for whatever reason, and they went bankrupt. And we keep it framed in the office and use it as a reminder of why we like to diversify. Well, this reporter with Investors Business Daily just emailed me yesterday and said that the article is going to run in the print edition on Monday. It's the article is called Advisors Display Their Favorite Artifacts to Connect with Clients. So if you get Investors Business Daily, check it out on Monday.
Yeah, how about that?
Yeah.
I've been quoted in quite a few things. It's always nice to know that they respect your opinion enough to actually publish it.
Definitely.
Especially when you're talking people of that significant character and reputation. They don't want to blow that. All right, there's been another data breach. This time, Quest Diagnostics. Now, how many of you have never seen that before? Quest Diagnostics, you get anything done medically, it's likely going to one or two places.
Yeah, there's only two of them, Quest. Exactly.
But what was breached, and we don't know a whole bunch about it yet, it's about 11.9 million patients. But what bothers me is the things that have been breached. Certain financial data, medical information, and Social Security numbers. That is a bad combination of things for people to get their hands on regarding you. So there is an investigation going on. We will report back what we learn. And I don't get anything for recommending anything like LifeLock, but if you don't have one of the basic services going, perhaps you should. And also a note for AAA members. AAA has a credit watching service that's $49, except if you're a member, it's free for signing up.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So if you happen to have a AAA membership, as I have had for decades, and you want to get on a very, very first level, I guess, credit watch for absolutely free. The other thing that you should seriously consider, and you can find this on pretty much any website, including people like Clark Howard, consider freezing your credit. It doesn't stop you from doing anything. It stops other people from doing anything. You can thaw it for whatever you want, whenever you want it, and put it back. But meanwhile, it'll prevent problems. So take care of your money, and it will take care of you. All right, here's how it's supposed to work. This is from the first quarter of 2019 data. Productivity. Oh, got to take a quick break here because you know rule number one. Callers to the head of the line. Good morning, Leroy.
Good morning, sir. 23%.
You probably will have a little trouble hearing this, but you're quite a bit too low.
Too low?
See, you're already on track for having the discussion once we give it out. Yes, we were both appalled.
I was shocked.
Yes, and disappointed, too, I might add. So I can hear that in your voice that you're the same way.
Okay.
Keep listening. Appreciate the call.
Thanks for the call.
Yeah, that's kind of scary just setting that whole thing up, isn't it? Anyway, from the first quarter data, this is exactly how it's supposed to work in a good economy. Productivity was up 3.4%. Very nice. Best in a long time. In fact, third quarter of 2010 was the last time we had a number that big. Unit labor costs. Now, this is a good one. Down 1.6%. But output was up 3.9%. And hours worked were up 1.5%. And the increases in wages were up 3.1%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, put all those numbers together. What does it mean? We're producing more with the same labor because it's more productive. Unit labor costs fell. What happens in an environment like this? Two simultaneous goals are taking place. Wages are rising with no inflationary pressure.
Right.
Now, that is what the Fed calls nirvana. And they will take action accordingly, which Adam and I still agree means they'll take no action. But this is good stuff, people. Good morning, Jim.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's happening?
Not much. Just want to take a shot at your trivia.
Go for it.
All right. How about 55%?
Ooh, you snuck in on the margin. I said I'd take it plus or minus 5, and it was 50. So you are a winner.
Isn't that surprising? Thank you. I appreciate that.
Isn't that disgusting?
Yeah.
I'll put you on hold, and we'll get your information and send you a little something. And then we're going to spend a couple minutes talking about the implications of that in our minds. But I don't like it very much, as you can probably tell.
Yeah, okay.
All right, we appreciate the call. Thank you. What's the problem with so many people retiring that young?
Okay, so this would be great news if all of these people were financially prepared to retire, but it just isn't possible that 50% of American workers are ready to retire early.
What number or what percentage of Americans do you think believe they're on track to retire well?
Well, I already know the answer, so I'm not gonna blow it.
That one's 36%, and how many of them are wrong?
Right, exactly.
We don't know that number, but I can guess.
Just from
if a third of the people think they're on their way, and a third of those are wrong.
Yeah, it's just not good. And I think part of the problem is that you can take Social Security at 62.
That's why that magic number keeps popping up.
They need to push that number back because it incentivizes people to stop working before they actually should stop working.
What's the greatest single number of retirements? What age?
It was
62 exactly.
Yeah, 62.
Coincidence? I think not.
Yeah, exactly. So I bet if you moved the first year you could take Social Security back to 64, that number would become 64 almost overnight.
And that is, we always explain to clients in the office, that is a double whammy. That is 2 years you're not spending the money you've already saved.
Right.
Plus, it's 2 years of earning more money before you retire.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're going to retire for 20 to 30, 35 years, and you think you're going to do it on early Social Security, you better have some real serious financial backup.
Yeah. So just anecdotally, in our office, the number of times we say, yes, you are on track to retirement versus, ooh, we need to, this needs some work. It's probably 10 times this needs some work to one time you're on track. And that's people who are actively seeking out a financial planner. So I know that's going to skew the data. I'm not sure which way, but it's just, there's just way too often that people either think they're on track and they're not, or know they're not on track and just need to know how to get there. But there's just no way that 50% of people can retire early. It doesn't make sense.
We have spent a lot of time on this program discussing Social Security and the ways to use it. I've got another piece I'm still developing about the income that counts for this and that discussion of it. And the one thing that we've always questioned is back in 84, I think it was, when Reagan actually changed the Social Security system to take people in my generation above the age 65 for full retirement age, they left alone the 62. And we have thought about that and talked about it ad nauseum for as long as I've been in this business. It has got to be, it doesn't have to be today, it's got to be phased in along with the other things so that 62 is no longer the option for getting out. It's not just that it's killing the Social Security system itself. It's that it's really hurting Americans who believe that all of a sudden they're going to get paid for not working. And what they don't understand is they're not going to get paid enough for not working. And I'll discuss the cost of Medicare a little bit with that when I get into it next week, too. Thanks for listening, everybody. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. We'll see you again next week. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.